Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Rosh Meir Shalosh and Class Learning. How fast time goes. When we broke for Pesach, it seemed like we would not be meeting for such a long time. And here we are back to Shir again. So I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Chag. And it's wonderful to be back to our very important learning, very relevant learning that affects our lives all the time. Just yesterday, I was speaking to somebody who started to share something about a conversation with somebody else. And right away, I said, maybe that person doesn't want you to repeat it. And it's hard, because as soon as the conversation starts, your Yetzer Hara naturally wants to hear what's coming next. And I said, after the initial sentence, I said, you know, maybe that person doesn't want you to share. And that was the end of the conversation, but it's not an easy avoda. And it's truly something that applies to our lives all the time. So let's begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. If you wonder where it is, if you look on the WhatsApp, where you get the Zoom information on this WhatsApp group, the icon is the Tefillah Al Hadibur, so everyone can follow along if you're interested. Ribono shel Olam, yiratzum fenechel, racham v'chanan shetazakeni haim v'chol yom, lishmor pi ulishoni v'lashon hara rechilas, v'ezarim ledaber afilo al ishiachi v'kol shekein akai iso o chelek mehim, v'kol shekein misroim al mido sab shal ha-kol shebaruchu, v'ezarim ledaber divrei sheker, chanufa machlokas ka'as gaiva, o na'as dvarim, tal bonas panim v'itzonus v'chol dibur aso. V'zakeni shalom v'daber kim daber ha-tzarich l'inani gufi v'nafshi v'yukal ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amen v'amen. We are learning l'zeichan l'ilui nishmasum tzvi gershom ben yo'av v'chana alav ha-sham as well as zev wolf ben yishai alav ha-sham mebot nashamas ha-valios l'tova and zechiros l'tova and the schus of the divrei Torah that we will share this morning as well as with your permission a continued refuah for bracha v'gaya b'svecha gita b'soch sh'ar chaleza. So I have a lot of material prepared for today's shiur. I think it's going to take me two classes to get through what I prepared for today, but I'm very excited to be back because it really, what I said when I started, is really not a joke. It really is such relevant and important learning, just like what happened to me yesterday. It applies Shmir Salashan all the time. So I want to start with a small vignette that I actually, shared with someone. Oh, doesn't matter. I was going to say that I shared with our sponsor, but I'm not supposed to say that, so I'm just going to make a shahakal. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam shahakol nehi abed v'ero. We were zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael for Chag HaPesach. Odu Hashem kitov kilom chasto on the last day of our trip, which I guess was 2 weeks ago from yesterday, Sunday. The last day of our trip, we were in Bnei Brak, and we went to different gedolim and rabbitsins for brachos. And the first gadol that we went to was Harav Beryl Pavarsky Shlita. And we were only there for very short. Some were able to give us more time. Rav Shraga Steinman really spoke to us more at length. Some gave us more time. Some, of course, due to scheduling and being gedolim, were able to give us less. So we were by Rav Beryl Shlita for a very short time. But one thing, somebody asked him, who's the first gadol that we went to? And someone asked, what should we do? I forget the exact lashon of the question. What should we do for Hatzachor or to take something upon ourselves? So he gave us one etzah when we were there. I couldn't believe it. The only etzah he says is you should take upon yourself Shmir Salashan, not to speak Lashon Hara. I'm not making this up for purposes of this class. That would be Sheker, which we just said not to. We daven that we should not speak to Rei Sheker. It's from this past week's parasha. But it was just mamish amazing when he was asked, you know, what's an etzah for Hatzachor? What should we take upon ourselves? So Robert Pavarsky, Shlita Rosh Hashiva from Panovich. So what he said was not to speak Lashon Hara. Take upon yourself Shmir Salashan. So clearly our learning has a skama of the gedolim, and something that we have to think of very, very carefully. The next thing I want to share with you is unbelievable. I just saw this last night, and I couldn't believe it. And it shows you how painful and terrible the inyanim of being over Shmir Salashan are, and how we truly can kill somebody, and how careful we all must be. So this is related to Inyani Dioma. I'm going to screen share with you. So could you see I'm on the screen from the Times of Israel? Okay. So Rahman on Thursday night, there was a horrific terror attack in Eretz Israel, in a park in Elad. Central city, a lot. I read that it's only like 2 miles from the fence of the West Bank from which the terrorists infiltrated. And 3 Rahman al-Tzan fathers were murdered. They left behind 16 orphans in total. They were axed. like in the Harnof Pigua, they were axed to death. I saw this last night, and I have chills when I'm telling you. Victim's wife pleads, don't murder him a second time. Okay, so one of the victims, Oren Ben Yiftach, 37, who you see on the screen, three Jewish Dati fathers were murdered. And one of them was Oren Ben Yiftach, 37 years old. He was the first victim. I don't know if you had seen previously that Rachman Alsan, he drove the victims to Elad. No, he drove the terrorists to Elad. They were illegal Palestinian workers in Israel. There are apparently many illegal Palestinians who enter Israel every day to work. I guess it's not unlike America, where there are many illegal immigrants who work in America. So there are many illegal Palestinians who work in Israel. And Oren Ben Yiftach had driven these two terrorists no less than 10 times into Elad. They worked in Elad. They were familiar with the city. They were workers. They had no prior terror activity. And after he drove them into the city, they axed him. They murdered him in the car. He was the first victim. He is a victim no less than all the other Rachman Alzad murder victims. So you could see my screen, yes? So this shows you how terrible is Inyanim Shmiras HaLashon when we transgress. The widow of one of the victims of the deadly terror attack in Elad last week on Sunday, meaning yesterday, begged the public, quote, not to murder him again. After it was revealed that her husband, her late husband, unwittingly drove the terrorists to the scene of the attack. Security officials have said that the two terrorists who carried out the deadly knife and axe attack were driven by Oren Ben Yiftach, a driver from Lod. They were taken from the West Bank security fence, where they believed to be snuck into Israel. Upon arriving, the two attacked Ben Yiftach when they came to Elad and killed him. Then they headed up the street, where they killed Yonatan Chavakuk and Boaz Gal, two other fathers. All three victims were their fathers in their 30s and 40s, who left behind a combined total of 16 orphans, very similar to the Harnof attack. My husband, Oren, was a dear and beloved man of peace and unity, said his wife in a video on Sunday. I turn to you, the keyboard warriors, and I call on you to show me a little compassion to this widow, to my six children, to our family. We are broken and shattered. Oren was a shuttle driver, and he drove people. That was his job. Oren is a victim of the terror attack. Do not murder him a second time, she implored. A similar call was made by his family on Saturday when they said they were horrified by the hate directed at him for driving the Palestinian terrorists, of which he was totally unaware. The family wrote, people of Israel, have pity on us during this trying time. Let us grieve in these days of mourning without concerning ourselves with the need to defend against despicable attacks. They added, how much hatred can come out when people's fingers run freely on the keyboard? We are appalled by the discourse on social media and in the media in a vile attempt to link our beloved son Oren to the despicable attack he himself was a victim of. They said that Ben Yiftach worked as an honest, innocent driver. This was his parnassa. This is what he did. Just as a taxi driver does not check who gets into the taxi, Oren was not required to check for permits for work or entry. He did not know that the pair were in Israel illegally at least 10 times in the past. We transported them to work in the ultra-Orthodox city. He was unaware, obviously, of their attack plans. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are estimated to cross the security barrier to work in Israel every day illegally. Okay. The two killers, when they got into the car, told Ben Yiftach they were doing urgent renovations at the Beit Knesset on Yehuda HaNasi Street in Elad. So he drove them to the Beit Knesset. As they got close to the location, they attacked him with an axe and knife. He fought back, but they overpowered and killed him. He left behind his widow, his family, and six children. But look at what the family says, what the widow says. I turn to you, our keyboard warriors. You have taken this war to the keyboard. Show me a little compassion to this widow, my six children, the family. All he did was work as a shuttle driver and drive people. He's the victim of a terror attack. Do not murder him a second time. We have learned many times in our class, based on the sources and the Gemara, that Lashon Hara kills three. You're going to see it again in the Sefer HaChinuch. Again, I think we're not going to get to it till next week, the Chinuch. That Lashon Hara kills three. The person who spoke, the person you are speaking about, and the person who listens, and the person you are speaking about. And that's what you're doing to this family. He didn't mean to drive the terrorists. He didn't expect to be axed in the head. He didn't think to leave his wife and six children. The people who are slandering him online, who are posting vile and horrible things as his family, are murdering him and adding fuel to the fire of his family, who couldn't even conceive, Rahman al-Tzan, of such a pain. Said the family, people of Israel, have pity on us. Let us grieve without concerning ourselves with the need to defend against despicable attacks. How much hatred can come when people's fingers run freely on the keyboard. We are appalled by the discourse on social media in a vile attempt to link our beloved son to the despicable attack that he himself was a victim of. It speaks for itself, and it is such a rachmanas, and it is such an avilus, and it is a horror that it's not bad enough that there was such a gzeira and shemayim that we cannot understand. And his family is left in mourning, but that people are becoming keyboard warriors and attacking him and killing him again, and killing the family through their words by blaming him for something that clearly was a gezer from Shemayim that he was totally innocent of. So it's a strong Mr. Haskell. I don't know if anybody saw in Mishpacha this week, there was a very good ad in the main Mishpacha, not in Family First, for the 49 days was Sfiras HaOmer, and said, take upon yourself for these 49 days not to forward. It showed, it was like an illustration. I don't know if anybody saw it. You know, don't forward that video. It causes embarrassment to people. It causes shame to people. And it's something we have to think about. We spend more time in our devices today, speaking on our devices, slandering on our devices, spreading things. Lo seleich v'chil b'amecha was a mitzvah in last week's parsha. In Chutzarts, Parshas Kedoshim. Makalal is in Parshas Emor. So this class is sandwiched between Kedosh and Lo Seleich V'chil B'Amecha. And next week, which is Makalal, who blasphemed the Shem HaMefoash, Kol V'Yachol. And we spend more time in our keyboards today than we do actually speaking to people. And it is such a horrific lesson, a reminder about what our words, when they are typed, can do. We must think before we post and forward. It was an amazing Adam Shbach. I don't know if anybody saw. So that lesson number one was Beryl Shlita. Lesson number two was on the power of Lo Seleich V'chil B'Amecha. You should not pick up your wares and go peddle them elsewhere, which Rachman al-Islam people are doing to the Zechira Neshama of Arembe Niftach. He's a terror victim. This coming is Parsha Emor tells us about Misa al-Kiddush Hashem. He obviously did not drive them knowingly, and yet people are slandering him. We have to take, even if you're not, and I'm not slandering him, we have to take a message into what this means before we post, before we type, before we forward. Okay. Third, every week we daven at Beis Medrash Wadmir. Oh, someone saw the Adam Mishpacha. Okay, very good. I showed it to my husband and my son. So we daven at Beis Medrash Wadmir, Rabbi Kiva Willick. And every Shabbos, you know, they send out the Zmanim and the Kiddush is sponsored by and the Shir will be. So they always have at the bottom of the BMW email Shaila of the Week. Okay, because Rabbi Willick has a BMW Halacha chat. Not only people from the Shul are on it, many people are on it. And people post shaylas, and he'll choose a shayla to answer in depth. So I'm not on it. My husband's on the BMW Halacha chat. But in the BMW email, they always put at the bottom shayla of the week. So I always look at it. So I couldn't believe it. This is something that we've learned in the class. So this is very halachic. Shayla of the week. Okay, a weekly exploration of actual halacha questions. This is a shayla that was posed to Rabbi Kiva Willick and his teshuvah. And the men have told him before that from the Kila you should make a kuntras. Like, it's very in-depth when he gives the teshuvah. It's very, very in-depth. It's not just yes or no, like you will hear. Does the prohibition of being mechana shem lechaveiro apply? Note, is it going to be easier if you see it on your screen, actually? I could just go to my email here and you could see it on my screen and it'll be... Can you see I'm in my email inbox? Yeah, you see Beis Medrash Wodmir, it's labeled Shmiras HaLashon class. On Thursday, I labeled it that it should be for art learning. Okay. Here we go. Can you see Shaila of the week? Yes? Okay. So this is Mamash, we've learned this. Does the prohibition of being Mechana Shem the Chavero apply only when the friend doesn't like the nickname or the nickname is not allowed? We've learned about nicknames. I hope you remember. Here we go. The Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. Remember how much time we spent at Bava Metzia 58b? We learned this inside. There's three people, I hope someone remembers, who descend to Gehenim and do not come up. Now, who are the three people, Nun Ches Amad Beis and Bava Metzia, who descend to Gehenim and not come up? One, an adulterer. Another, one who embarrasses another in public. And the third, one who creates a derogatory name for a friend. So the Gemara says, which we learned, that three people descend to Gehenim and do not get up. An adulterer, one who embarrasses another in public, and one who creates a derogatory name for a friend. So you can imagine the power of Inyanei Shmiras HaLashon, if one who embarrasses someone in public and creates a derogatory name for a friend is on the level of an adulterer. The Gemara goes on to say that calling one by derogatory name is prohibited, even if one has become used to the name. So you could say, oh, they're used to it. Everyone calls them that. So does that mean you have permission to call them that? And now he quotes Lashon of the Gemara. Kol ha-yardin le-gehenim olim. Everyone who goes down to Gehenim comes up. Chutz mishlosha she-yardin ve-ein olim. Except for three who go down and don't come up. Ve-eluhein. And these are them. You know, when we were in Eretz Yisrael, one of the days we went to, we did some things by the Kinneret and we were in Tveria. We were by the Chamei Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria. I think, I don't recall ever being there in my life. It was amazing. And the water, right when it comes out from the source, is 60 degrees Celsius. Then by the first pool, it's 40 degrees. Then the next pool, it's 35 degrees. Then it's 30 degrees. So the lower pools, people can go into. Right when it comes out, you could see the steam rising. You have to put your hand in and pull it out right away. And our tour guide told us, who I found out later, is a son-in-law of Rabbi Zevlev. Our tour guide, who was absolutely excellent, told us that Chazal say, I believe it's the Gemara who says, that the Chamei Tever are 1/60th of the heat of Gehenna. The Chamei Tever are 1/60th of the heat of Chamei Tever. Now, the Chamei Tever, you can put your hand in and take it right out. When it comes, Rachman Atzlan, to the heat of Gehenna, it's not going to be so pasha. And three go down and don't come out. The Eluhin, Habal Eshas Ish, one who comes upon his friend's wife. V'hamabim pnei chaver b'rabim, one who embarrasses his friend in public. V'hamechana shem ra'le chavero, and someone who coins a bad name, shem ra, for his friend, mechana hainu malbin. So isn't coining a bad name also the same as embarrassing? Afal gav darash bebishkna. Even though, now he explains what Rashi is saying. Rashi explains, that was Rashi, that although he may no longer be embarrassed when called by that name, let's say he's not embarrassed because he's just so used to it. Nevertheless, the intent of the one calling him by that name is to harm him. So he doesn't care anymore, but you really don't like this person, and you have intent to harm him. It emerges that this prohibition applies only if the name is inherently derogatory or if the intent of the one calling his friend by that name is negative. So you have negative intent. Everyone calls him that. But, you know, it gives you a little bit of a Yetzer Hara lift to call him by a negative name. And you know somewhere deep down it bothers him. So you have the intent, which is negative, of calling a friend by that name. Interestingly, Rabbi Willa continues, the Rambam implies that any name calling would fall into the prohibition, even if it is not a Shem Ra. Additionally, the Rambam assumes that one belongs in this very unscrupulous group of people only if he habitually refers to someone by a derogatory name. So the Rambam is saying, if you constantly, always, you know that the person doesn't want you to call him that, and you habitually refer to this person by that derogatory name, then you belong to this group of people. Tosfos, so I told you it's very lachic. You see how Rabbi Willock answers the Shailas, quoting all of the sources. Tosfos in Maseches Megillah writes, it is proper to avoid using even an innocuous and benign nickname for others. It is proper to avoid using even an innocuous and benign nickname for others. And this was the custom of Rabbi Zakkai. That's what Tosfos says. Moreover, the Meiri writes that even if the person doesn't mind, nevertheless, it is prohibited to use a certain nickname. So let's say the person says, oh, I don't care, I'm so used to it. The Meiri says, no, it's still prohibited. Others assume that if the name is merely descriptive, but not offensive, it is permissible to call him by the name. The Shulchan Aruch seems to conform with Rashi's opinion, and hence, a derogatory name is always prohibited if the intent is to harm the subject. However, it appears that if it is not derogatory, there is no prohibition, absolute prohibition. Nevertheless, if the subject does not like the name, even if it's not derogatory, it is forbidden to call them by the name. So you know the person doesn't like them, but everyone does it. So why can't you do it too? If for whatever reason they don't like it, it's forbidden to call them by that name. However, this does not fall into the condemned group of people mentioned in the Gemara. So if it's not derogatory, there's no absolute prohibition, even if they don't like it. But if it's not derogatory and your intent is not evil, you don't fall into the group of those three who go down and don't come up. But you see how careful we must be with the names that we use to call other people. If it brings them embarrassment or makes them feel ashamed or inferior in any way, shape, or form, it is absolutely forbidden to call them by their name. I was very excited when I saw the halacha of the week because we have learned that inside. Okay, we did with Baruch, Rachmana Litzlan, the terror victim in Eretz Yisrael, and the BMW halacha chat. Now I want to go to Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yates, because this week's parsha, well, last week's parsha is Kedoshim, and this coming week, 1 second, I need a tissue, please. I'm sorry, excuse me. Okay, so it's very, very interesting. When I was learning the parsha with Rashi this week, I couldn't get over how many psukim and Rashis apply to all these categories of forbidden speech in Parshas Kedoshim. What does it mean to be Kadosh? Not only those Seirich Rechil Ba'amecha. So in the Tefillah Al Hadibur, and in our learning and studying of the Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim, we have come to understand that forbidden speech includes Sheker, Chanufa, Mechlokes, Ka'as, Gaiva, Ona'as Dvarim, Halbanas Panim, Leitzanus, V'chol Dibur Asar. Right? And we just saw, for example, the halacha of calling somebody by nickname would fall into the category of both Ona'as Dvarim and Halbanas Panim, and probably Leitzanus as well. So it's not just the typical Lashon Hara and Rechilos, which is also forbidden, but it is also Sheker, Chanufa, Mechlokes, Kaz, Gaivon, Nasvarim, Havanas, Panim, Leitzanos. So, as we have seen, we have to be so careful. So, I went through the, you could see my Chomesh. Could you see all my stickies? You probably can't see how many there are on the computer. And I ran through and I just couldn't believe how overwhelming Parshas Kedoshim is, so full of mitzvos and mitzvos that apply to these inyanim. So the pasuk, first of all, I thought it was very, very interesting when it comes to Mora Horim. So in Perek Yod Tes, Pasuk Gimel, the parsha begins, Ishimo va'aviv tira'o. Man shall revere his father and his mother. So Rashi says, what is mora? What does it mean to revere? Rashi distinguishes between what is revering one's parents and what is giving honor to one's parents. So Rashi says, and I never thought of it before really in this light, but maybe because Shemir Salashim class was resuming, Baruch Hashem, this Monday morning. Two halachos included in revering one's parents are lo yidaber bimkomo, have to do a speech. You may not speak in a parent's place. Velo yistar astivarav, you may not contradict your parents' words. So even when it comes to, it's not just kavod, as you know, perhaps giving kavod in the way we speak to them, but to lavin in regard to mora horim are lo yidaber bimkomo. You can't speak in your parents' place. Velo yistar astivarav, and you cannot contradict your parents' words. Moving on in the parsha, okay, just mamish beferish. Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lo Signovu, you shall not steal. Rashi says this is stealing money. Velo Sechachashu, you shall not deny falsely. Velo Sechaku, Ishba Amiso. Sheker. Sheker is one of the forbidden parameters of speech, and one man should not lie against his fellow. So we are forbidden to lie, and it's explicit in the Torah. You might think it's common sense. Why does the Torah need to tell me that? Apparently, common sense is not common sense, like someone said many years ago at the Nautilus. Furthermore, in regard to speech, lo sekala chirish, you shall not curse a deaf person. And Rashi points out, lerabos kol adam. Not only talking about a chirish, it's talking about a deaf person that you can't curse, it's talking about every person. So here we see that you cannot curse. How do we curse? We curse with our words. Perigit tes, pasuk tes vav. Lo sasu avo b'mishpa, you shall not do wrong and dash justice. You shall not favor a poor person or give glory to a great person. But tzedek tishpot amisecha, with righteousness shall you judge your fellow. What does Rashi say about but tzedek tishpos amisecha? Hevei don es chavercha lakafschos. If we were always done as chaver chalakav schus, that we would rather have clams than these indanim in the first place. If Rachmana Litzlan, those slanderers, those keyboard warriors, would think for a minute of what if they were in the place of the terror victim, Aram ben Yiftach Hashem Yinkom Damo, would they have acted differently? Would they have known to do anything differently? They are certainly not being Dan the Kaf Zuchus, and they are killing us. I watched the video clip by his Amana. She talks about the Amana and the Yatomim. She says at the end, Lo Tirzach Oto Pam Shnia. Because when we're not down the Kaf Sechus, what happens is we think we have a legitimate license to speak negatively about other people. The most obvious from Parshas Kedoshim, even though all of these relate, is Perek Yutes Pasuk Tezayin, Lo Seleich Rechil Bamecha. You should not be a gossip monger amongst your people. And Rashi says you go peddling your wares. So you pick up wares, which is negativity and negative speech in one place and stories about people in one place, and you go peddle them and you carry them to another place. Furthermore, excuse me. Why is this? Oh, listen to this. Perek Yutes Pasuk Yudzayin. No tisna asachicha bilvavecha. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Ocheich tochiach asamisecha. You shall surely reprove or rebuke your fellow. Velo tisa alavchi. And you shall not bear sin because of him. What does that mean? It means, says Rashi, quote, Lo talbin es panav birabim. You shall not embarrass him in public. Now, we were just in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, based on Rabbi Willick's answer on the Halachotra, where three go down to Gehenna and don't come up. And one of them is Hamal ben Pnei Chavir Barabim. What is the connection between you? You shall surely reprove your fellow and not bear sin because of him. The connection is, Rashi has explained, that when you reprove your fellow, when you rebuke your fellow, even though today there's no Nozav Div Tochacha, the Gemara says we can't do that today. However, when you reprove your fellow, make sure you do not cause him to be embarrassed in public. Lo talbin es panav berabim, shall not cause him shame in public. Furthermore, you test your chas lo sikum lo sitars b'nei emecha v'ahav dolere acha kamerach. If we truly live by the embodiment of you shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself, and we would not struggle with these inyanim. The problem is we love ourselves more than we love our fellow Jew, and therefore these inyanim become very, very difficult for us. I thought it was also very interesting, Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Beis, Mipnei Seva Takum V'Hadarta Pnei Zakim. You shall rise before an elder and give glory to an older person. You shall revere God. I am Hashem. So Rashi says similar. Interestingly, how do you show reverence for a Talmud Chacham? Lo yidaber bimkoma v'lo yistars tvarav. Just like with a parent, we are not allowed to speak in his place and not to contradict his words. So too, to honor the presence of an elder, and we know that an elder is a zakin zeshekana chachma. We're talking about a talmid chacham, so he could be young in years, but he could be older than you in wisdom. Lo yidaber bimkoma, do not speak in his place. V'lo yistars tvarav, and do not contradict his words. Furthermore, my mamish, this is unbelievable. When I was learning the Chumash with Rashi on Shabbos, I just couldn't get over how many azharos there were in regard to Nyanei Shmiras Halashon and Parshas Kedoshim. It gives you an idea of what it means to be Kadosh. Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'chiyagur itcha ger ba'artzechem lo sonu oso. If a ger, a convert, lives with you in your land, do not harass him. Lo sonu oso. And Rashi says, Yutes Lamed Gimel, lo sonu oso. O na'as dvarim. We're talking about verbal oppression. It's one of the things that we daven for mightily in the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Divrei sheker chanufa mechlokas kas gaiva o na'as dvarim halbanas panim. So the last two Rashi's touched upon halbanas panim. And now we come to o na'as dvarim. How could you be verbally oppressive to a convert? Lo somer lo. So Rashi says you shouldn't say to him, amesh ha'yisa oved avodah zar. So last night you were worshipping avodah zar. Va'achshav atabal lo mo Torah shenitna mipi ha'gvura. Interesting that Rashi focuses on the mouth. Doesn't just say shenitna behar sinai. Shenasan Hashem l'moshe. You shouldn't say to him, amesh, ha'yisa avoid of vodavazar, va'achshav atabalil motora. Wow, is it true that last night you were worshipping idols, and now you're coming to learn Torah, shenitna mepi agvur? So this is considered onas dvarim. It is forbidden to verbally harass him. When it comes to an elder, you can't speak in his place or contradict his words. When you come to give tochacha, you should not embarrass somebody in public. Continuing on. Oh, okay, so that was Parshas Kedoshim, and many of the Azharos that relate to specifically Shmiras HaLashon. And this coming week's Parsha in Chutz Arts is Parshas Emor. And in Parshas Emor, Parshas Emor ends with, in Perek Avdal, the Mekalal, If you recall, before Pesach, we did the Medrash that tells us that Bnei Yisrael cannot change their names or their language, and none of them were involved in Arayos. It was actually a Medrash based on the Mekalo. Okay? Vayetze ben Ish Yisraelis, I'm not going into it in depth, just to remind us that these two parashas both deal with Inyanei Shmiras Halashon, watching our tongue. Okay? So Vayetze ben Ish Yisraelis, a son of an Israelite woman went out. Vahu ben Ish Mitzri, so he was the son of an Israelite woman. His father was an Egyptian. He went out amongst the children of Israel. Rashi says he had nowhere to pitch his tent. He wants to pitch his tent in the tribe of Dan, because his mother's from the tribe of Dan. But the Shvatim say to him, the Shvatim say to him, you can't pitch your tent in the tribe of Dan. It goes after the father, not the mother. So he's very angry. And they contended in the camp, the son of the Yisraeli woman and the Israelite man. Vayikov ben Ha'isha Yisraelis es Hashem. What does that mean, Vayikov? Rashi says you interpret it like Targum Onklus. What does Targum Onklus say? Ufaresh bar itasa bas Yisrael Yashma. Ufaresh bar itasa bas Yisrael Yashma. The son of the Israelite woman said the Shem HaMeforosh. Shem HaMeforosh. Listen to Onklus again. Ufaresh bar means son in Aramaic, is in bar mitzvah. Itisa bas Yisrael yas shema. He was poresh the shame and meforash. Shame hamifarash. He said the explicit sanctified divine name, which is forbidden to say. So he becomes the makala. He blasphemed. But what did he do? He said. He used words. He used a name that is forbidden to use. And the name of his mother, Shlomis bas Dibri. What got him into trouble in the first place? Well, it's the meat of his knavah. She talked too much. Like Rashi says, Shalom Alechen, Shalom Alechen. She would chatter and twitter to everybody like a bird. She would say, how are you? How are you? Shlo meat. Shalom Alechen, Shalom Alechen. Bat Dibri. She used too many words. Le Daber. From the tribe of Dan, and they put him into like under watch. They don't know what to do with him, and everybody has to stone him, and he will die. But I thought that it was just fascinating and compelling to see how many lavan there are in Kadoshim regarding the Azhara of Shmir Salashan. It gives you an idea of what it means to be Kadosh. And in Parshas Emor, it ends with this topic of speech. I'm now quoting from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. Rav Zilberstein, we did not see him in Bnei Brak, although that would have been pretty amazing. Rav Zilberstein is a son-in-law of Rav Yashuv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he's a big dying posek and mechaber sfarim in Bnei Brak. I'm sure you've heard of him. So I'm quoting from a sefer called V'ha'arevna, also halacha. So we began very much halachic with Rabbi Willig's answer about calling someone a nickname. This too is a fascinating shayla. V'ha'arevna, halachic challenges and solutions based on the weekly parsha from the shirim of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. So it's called the lonely seller, like someone who's alone, the lonely seller. And it's based on the pasuk. The heading is V'yahavta l'rei'acha kamocha, love for your fellow what you love for yourself, which is a mitzvah, of course, from Parshas Kedoshim, which was one of the mitzvahs that I just listed in the Inyan Mishmer Salasha. The challenge. Reuven saw a sign for a one-room apartment. How did I even come to this? And this was safer because on the Shabbos table, my husband picked this matzah, this shayla and halacha to discuss. We were recently in Lower Merion, Philadelphia for a Shabbos before Pesach, and at the home of Rabbi Abi and Adina Schmidman. So he went over this. Rabbi Schmidman took the sefer and he chose a shayla. And before he says Rav Zilberstein's psak, he gave people time to think about it and discuss it. So I said to my husband, you know, we have that sefer at home. So he said, we do. So since we spent the Shabbos there, we've been doing the same thing. So my thanks to Rabbi Schmidman, who he doesn't even know, was the impetus for that at our Shabbos table. And the kids really enjoy it very much because you pose the shayla that was posed to Rav Zilberstein and then the halachic shayla. And before you say his answer, it gives everyone time to think and express their thoughts and what they think. So this is fascinating. So it happened to be, I'm putting that in quotes, that this was the shayla that my husband chose to speak about. It's about Onas Dvarim. All these things Hashem sent me, all this material, I told you, I have so much prepared, and I was very excited for this class, because just so much material. We spoke about nicknames, keyboard warriors, doesn't need any more commentary. Pashas Kedoshim speaks for itself, and Robert Pavarsky Shlita also speaks for himself,
And now we come to the shayla that my husband happened to choose at the table. The lonely seller. Here we go. Reuven saw a sign for a one-room apartment for sale. He presumed that a one-room apartment could not be too expensive and it would be a worthwhile investment. He called the number on the sign and he made an appointment to go see the apartment. When he arrived, he was welcomed by an old, frail Jew. He was welcomed by an old, frail Jew who offered him something to eat and drink, chatted with him pleasantly for a few minutes, and then showed him around the small apartment. He then quoted, so after they schmoozed, Reuven asked the price. He then quoted a price so high, Reuven could not believe anyone would agree to pay such a price for this apartment. Okay, and my husband pointed out, because he just went, our car lease is up, so he just went to one of the car dealerships last week. My husband said the same thing happened, because one of the kids pointed out that first this old man offered him a food and a drink and a schmooze, only at the end he said the price. So my husband said, this just happened to me. I went to the car dealership, and first they tell me all the features of the car, sit in the car, look in the car, everything could do for you. Only at the end they told me $550 a month. So my husband said, have a nice day, thank you very much. And my husband said, had they told me the price away, they wouldn't have even had a conversation with me. So you're going to see that what happened to my husband is very relevant here, actually. After the man schmoozes with him, gives him a food and drink, and chats pleasantly, and shows him around the apartment, then he names the price. Reuven was shocked, and he couldn't believe anyone would pay this for such an apartment. Oh, Sim, I'm going through the shy from Rose Silverstein. That is my price, said the man. Take it or leave it. I won't go down even for one penny, insisted the elderly man. Reuven said he would leave it. He thanked the elderly man for his time and he went on his way. The next year, Reuven passed down the same street. He saw the for sale sign was still there. He realized the unreasonable price must have kept away all potential buyers, and he wondered if the elderly owner might at least be willing to consider lowering the price, still in the market after a year. He went up to the apartment. When the owner invited him to see it, says Rav Zilberstein, the man explains to the elderly man, I have seen your apartment last year, but I returned to ask if you're willing to lower the sale price. The elderly man said the price is still the same and he is unwilling to accept anything less. If the apartment has been on the market for so long and no one is interested in buying it, maybe it's time to consider lowering the price, said the young man. What is the point of putting up an apartment for sale that no one will ever buy, he said. The elderly man turned pale and began to cry. I don't really want to sell my apartment, he sobbed, but I am here alone all day, day after day, with no one to talk to. I put the apartment up for sale so people will come to see the apartment. They will spend time talking to me. I have something to eat and drink. It will ease my loneliness. He apologized for wasting Reuven's time and asked him not to reveal his secret. Since Reuven gave the appearance of being learned in Torah, the elderly man then asked him if this scheme to attract guests is permitted by Torah law. So Rav Zilberstein, in a series of Ha'aravna, this is here for Reiko Kadoshim, poses the question, and then it's very nice. It leads to a lot of interesting discussion at the table, and then the Shaila, and then the Tshuva of Rav Zilberstein is answered. So just think to yourself, I'm going to say, I'm not going to give you the, I don't have time here. But it's very, very interesting. Is the man doing the right thing, this elderly gentleman? Is he allowed to do what he's doing halachically? You're drawing people in. You're deceiving potential buyers. You're wasting their time. It's under a disguise of untruth. We just went through Parshas Kedoshim. So is it permitted what he's doing or is it not? And again, Rav Zilberstein puts this under the title of Ahavtarecha Kamocha. You're going to see it relates to Onas Dvarim. But also, I think it brings the shir sort of full circle because we began by Rachmana Litzan, that widow, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, whose husband was mamish axed to death. And we have to talk about sensitivity to our fellow Jews, and we have to be more careful. Says Rav Baruch Pavarsky, you want to know a segula, or I'm not into segulas, but real, like a Torah segula, okay, a chuz chosh for having hatzlacha, it's take upon yourself not to talk lashon hara, which includes all inyanim shmiras lashon. So now that you've had a minute and a half to think about what you think the answer would be, here we go. Rav Zilberstein writes, the halacha is as follows. He begins by quoting the Shulchan Aruch Hoshen Mishpat 228, which states, what is considered onas dvarim? So I was not planning to say some shmiras lashon until we got to the halachic answer. And Rav Zilberstein begins the answer by quoting Shulchan Aruch Hoshen Mishpat, which states, quote, what is considered onas dvarim? We just saw the prohibition in Parshas Kedoshim. When it comes to the ger, lo sonu oso, and Rashi says, za onas dvarim. You plan to say, so last night you were worshipping idols? Wow, that's so nice. You're so Jewish today. Yesterday you were a goy bowing down to sun gods, and today you're coming to learn Torah with piha grua? Seriously? It's asher. What is onas dvarim? Asked the Shulchan Aruch. Quote, one may not ask a seller the price of his merchandise if he has no intent to buy it. We learned this. We learned all about this, if anyone remembers. We learned about nicknames, and we learned all about this onas dvarim. I hope you remember. Remember, you're not allowed to ask the donkey drivers. If a donkey driver asks you, where can I find food for my animals, you can't say it's in such and such place if you know that that guy doesn't have anything. One may not ask a seller, writes Rav Zilberstein, that lacha is the price of his merchandise if he has no intent to buy it. One may not tell someone in search of produce can be bought in a certain place if he knows it cannot be bought there. We learned all this in the Gemara. Quote, quote, offensive speech is worse than dishonest business. In this week's parsha, we have lo signovu, you shall not steal. Rav says gmevis mammon. And this week's parsha, we have honest scales, stones, and measures, which I didn't even go through. But offensive speech, says Rav Zilberstein, is worse than dishonest business, since money can be returned, but not the results of the former. You can return someone's money, but you can't return the dignity that you took away from someone when you offended them with your speech. Furthermore, one is an assault against a person's possessions, but the other is an assault against the person himself. The elderly man in our case would seem to violate this halacha by raising the hopes of his visitors with the lure of an apartment for sale, when he actually has no intention to sell the apartment at all. Says Rav Zilberstein Shlita, he wastes their time and inconveniences them for no benefit of their own whatsoever. However, Rav Zilberstein, with such an concern for a halacha through Bein Adam Mechaveiro, if you will, Rav Zilberstein suggested, quote, there is no violation of onas dvarim in this case. Even though you would think there is violation of onas dvarim, there is actually no violation of onas dvarim. The elderly man does not intend to trick. Remember with the nicknames of Avilik brought us sources, the intention is very important. If you intend to be negative, if you intend to be derogatory, if you intend to embarrass the person with a derogatory nickname, then you're over. In this case, the elderly man does not intend to trick people with false offers of a sale, simply entices them to fulfill the mitzvah of visiting the sick in the home. So some of the kids at the table had a little trouble with that. They're like, you know, you could put up a sign that says, "Come do biker cholam," and you know, "Mipnei seva talkum v'adarta pnei zakim," but like put up a sign that says apartment for sale when really you have no intention. Anyway, the Maisa, that's where Rav Zilberstein writes, a justification for this innocent deception can be found in the Gemara. Remember, a halachic decider, a halachic posek, bases everything on different places in Torah. Bal Sheba Pan Shebichtav. A justification for this For this innocent deception can be found in the Gemara Masecha Shabbos 129a, which states, if a person has bloodlet, you know, in the olden days, that was a form of medicine to let their blood, and he cannot afford the wine he needs to regain his strength, he may take a coin of a generally unaccepted currency around from one wine shop to the other. At each wine shop, he may present himself as if he wants to buy, ask for a taste, and then offer the bad coin in payment. When the vendor refuses to accept it, he may leave and repeat this again in the next store. Wow. The Magen Avraham understood this as a general permission for sick people to be dishonest when necessary. No one take halachic psak from anything I'm saying. To procure treatment that they would otherwise not be able to receive. In this case, concludes Rav Zilberstein, the elderly man's loneliness and depression will ultimately take a toll on his health. Therefore, if it is permitted to use this deception to invite the visitors he needs to cheer himself up and maintain his health, another justification can be based on the assumption that, quote, if potential buyers know how sad and lonely he is and how great a mitzvah it is to visit him, they would not begrudge him their visit. This reminds me of the principle of Chazal, Kofin Oso Adche Omer Rotze Ani. You force him until he says, I want. For example, if a get is given a get, no one take anything halacha from anything that I'm saying, only based on things that I've read and learned. The person doesn't want to give a get, and he's ultimately forced into giving a get. So we have a principle, kofin oso. A person doesn't want to give tzedakah, he's forced into giving tzedakah. Kofin oso ad shomer ratzeni. His neshama really wants to do the right thing. His neshama does not want to withhold the get. His neshama does not want to give tzedakah. His neshama wants to do the correct thing. So we have a principle that you may force someone to do the right thing al pitor, because that's really what his neshama wants to do. Therefore, says Rav Zilberstein, the assumption is, if the potential buyers would know how sad and lonely this man is, and they would understand what a great mitzvah it is to bring him cheer and to visit him, they would not begrudge him their visit. In a similar vein, the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim permits borrowing someone's talis and tefillin to use without his knowledge, since we can assume he would be happy to have a mitzvah done with his possessions. Here too, we can assume that the visitors would be happy to have a mitzvah done with their time, puts in parentheses, as stated in Pesachim 4b. So I thought that this was extremely interesting. It seems to be a potential onas dvarim, which Rav Zilberstein first proves why you would think it was onas dvarim, which is totally forbidden under the category of inyanei shmiras halashon. But then he comes around and he says, because of a haftarecha kamocha and bikur cholim, it is actually not forbidden. Fascinating halacha. So we, brought us here full circle. How careful we have to be with our behavior, actions, interactions, and everything we type and post and forward. In regard to inyanim of both shmir salashon, which directly affects v'ahavta recha kamocha, a lot of food for thought. It's Baruch Hashem, fantastic to be back to this very important, very relevant, applies to us. I'll tell you, just yesterday, two things. One, that person started to tell me, and I said, I don't think that person would want to repeat it, put that in the conversation. And then last night, I received a very difficult shayla when it comes to shidduchim. And right away, I reached out to the Rav, and my husband said, you can't answer this without asking the Rav. I reached out to the Rav, and I was told exactly what to do and exactly what to say. So this class is so relevant to our lives. That's just two examples from me yesterday evening. And I'm sure it applies to you all the time. It says Rav Beryl Shlita, if you want to know what you should have a tzlacha, quote, accept upon yourselves not to talk lashon hara, by the neshamas of Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Vachana and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya, both merit aliyos and zechiros the tova and the schos of the Torah we shared, and a continued refuah for bracha v'begalas rachal gitta, and Rabbanu Shalom should bless Kal Yisrael with shalom for our people and our land, and a true finally, nachamu, nachamu, ami. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Kol tov, besoros tovos to all. Thank you.